Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee and the Word. Today, we are going to talk about success. Everybody wants it. Everybody craves it. Everybody desires. People want to be successful. And it really kind of depends on where you are in life as to what your definition of success is. But, you know, success is different things for different people. And in the world we live in, success is typically defined by money and possessions and power. And so, you know, a lot of times when we talk about being successful, we have those three things in mind. Well, while there's nothing wrong with having money, as long as the money doesn't have you, money is a great tool for blessing other people, for giving, for moving ministry forward. It's a great tool. But money in and of itself does not make you successful. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that have a lot of money that I don't consider to be very successful in life. They're not happy. They're in bad relationships. They're stressed out. They're on drugs to try to, you know, antidepressants and anti-stress. I'm going to tell you guys, I don't care how much money you've got or how big your house is, how many houses you've got, what kind of car you drive. If you're under that kind of stress to be able to live that lifestyle, I don't see that as being success. I see that as being the devil's trap and this world's trap to make you feel like you have to have those things to be a success. I'm telling you now, I know people that live in very humble circumstances that I believe are incredible successes, and I think we've got to really change and shift our definition of what success is. So when you talk about power, you know, it's great to have power. I believe God, when you're walking in divine favor, God's going to give you power and authority that you walk in, but it's His power and His authority, not your own. And I think that's the real key to success where power is concerned. It's just to realize that all power comes from Him, all glory belongs to Him, and any power that He gives us on this earth is to be used for His glory and for His purposes. And then, of course, when you think about success, you think about money, you think about possessions, you think about power. But I also am really, really thinking about relationships. You know, what does it mean to be successful in relationships with other people? You know, how many real friends do we have in life that if the chips were down and we needed someone, how many people would be in our corner? And I really believe the key to having friends is to be a friend. Because so many times people want friends and they wonder why nobody hangs out with them and nobody cares about them. But I really believe that you have to go out and sow seed into relationship. You have to sow seed into a marriage relationship. You have to sow seed into a friendship. It's all about give and take, but you've got to be the first one to give right now if you're finding yourself without those personal relationships that are so fulfilling. So a lot of it has to do with the way that we think, the way that we see ourselves. So I see myself as a Christian entrepreneur, and I believe that faith is a key ingredient to be successful in anything in life, business, relationships, finances, and in this economy that we're living in, you know, a lot of people are saying business is down, things are tough, you know, how can you succeed in this economy? But I'm telling you guys, when you honor God with your time, with your substance, with your lifestyle, God honors that. And even though in the natural, sales may be down and business may be down, God will supernaturally provide and take care of you. I'm so inspired this morning when I was reading in The Circle Maker in chapter 13 about Conrad Hilton. I never knew this, but Conrad Hilton is the founder of Hilton Hotels worldwide. When you think about Hilton Hotels, you think glamour, you think expensive, you think luxurious. And this is such an interesting fact. Did you know that in 1931, in the depths of the Great Depression, Conrad Hilton was borrowing money from a bellhop so he could eat? And when I looked at that fact, I thought to myself, wow, how many times do we find ourselves in life down and out, at the very bottom of the barrel, maybe having to borrow money, maybe robbing Peter to pay Paul. But what I loved about Conrad Hilton is even though it was an outrageous time for him to dream, he set his eyes on the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, which at that time was the queen of hotels. And so Conrad Hilton did is he went and took a picture of it, and he put it under the glass at the top of his desk, so that every single day that he was at his desk, he was looking at his dream. He was looking at the ultimate prize, at the queen. At the same time, he has not even got enough money to eat. I want you guys to get this, because part of the success journey, and really where we all start, is when we find ourselves down, when we find ourselves challenged, and perhaps we've gone through great loss, perhaps we are struggling financially, we've maybe lost a job, lost a marriage, someone has made decisions that has put us in a financial bind. There's lots of reasons. We must have a dream. We must have something we're focused on, and it has to be a God dream. So I want to, step number one is today begin to pray and say, God, what is it that you want me to have? What is it you want me to dream for? What is it you want me to work toward? And ask God to give you that vision. And then put that vision in time in front of your face. In the book, it says, every time Hilton sat down at his desk, his dream was staring him in the face. But the great thing that I did not know about Conrad Hilton is that he had a foundation and a heritage, that he came from a praying heritage. His mother was a prayer warrior. His mother had one answer for everything, and that was prayer. Listen to this. For 18 long and boring years, Hilton worked like it depended on him, but he prayed like it depended on God. And then his persistence paid off. Do you realize that for 18 years he believed for this hotel to be his? For 18 years he had that dream, and his persistence paid off. He has an autobiography, and in the final section, the title of the chapter is Pray Consistently and Confidently. And he says in his book, in the circle of successful living, prayer is the hub that holds the wheel together. This is really important, guys. Without our contact with God, we are nothing. And with it, we are a little lower than angels, crowned with glory and honor. My friends, anything is possible if you pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you, and you know that your time will eventually come. I love this quote from the book, from The Circle Maker. It said that Conrad Hilton's greatest privilege and potential was kneeling before the King of Kings, and that's what made the Queen possible, because the Queen is always subject to the King. So what is the Queen in your life? What is the desire of your heart that God has placed there? I'm going to give you some scriptures and some principles. There are 10 of these that are going to really help you to move forward. First of all, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Learn something every day. Stay in the Word of God and believe for something bigger than you. If you only lean on what you know already, you will be unable to grow. We only grow in business and in life as much as we grow personally and within ourselves. So we have to grow ourselves to be able to grow in business, to be able to grow in success. Then we have Isaiah 43:19. Behold, look, see, I'm doing something new. It's already happening. Don't you recognize it? I'm going to clear a way in your desert. I'm going to make a river on your dry land. And you know, if you know me, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I quote it a lot on Coffee in the Word. Sometimes our businesses will seem stagnant. Sometimes our success in life will seem like it's going backwards instead of forwards. But remember, when something is getting ready to be launched, it always gets pulled back first before it shoots forward into the future. Think about an archer. When he's getting ready to launch that arrow into the air, the further back he pulls that bow, the farther that arrow is going to fly. That's what God does with us. He pulls us back to launch us forward. So you may have to reinvent yourself a little bit. You may need to reinvent your business. Don't be afraid. God's got your back. Philippians 4:6 is a huge one for me, because being self-employed, there is no guaranteed income coming into my life. Everything that I do is based on commissions, it's based on what other people do, and the decisions that I make and other people make. So it's really easy if I allowed myself to get stressed, to look at what's not happening, to look at if the sales are down, you know. And literally, I could have lived the last 29 years of my life on a total roller coaster of, if sales are up, I'm excited and happy. If sales are down, I'm depressed and blue and anxious. But instead of living like that, years ago, God showed me Philippians 4:6, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." You see, God is saying, don't be anxious about anything, but he doesn't say to do nothing. He says, in that anything, that everything, he wants us to pray, and he wants us to make specific requests. That's what a petition is. It is a specific request. And then he says, with thanksgiving. So begin to thank him now. God, I thank you for the increase in sales. I thank you for the increase in my bank account. I thank you for new clients and customers. I thank you for new appointments. I thank you for that new job that you're bringing into my life. I thank you, God. I'm walking in divine favor. So you literally, instead of being anxious, you're putting that prayer out there. You're putting that petition out there, and you're thanking him in advance for it coming to pass. That is one of the most important things that you and I can do. Get God actively involved in every aspect of your life, your work, your business. Then we look at Proverbs 10:4, which says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but the hand of the diligent prospers or makes rich." Proverbs 12:24 says, "Work hard and become a leader, or be lazy and become a slave." And there's another translation of Proverbs 12:24 that says, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor." And I think about these scriptures, and I think about being self-employed all of these years. You have to be diligent, because you can't be lazy. Because really what happens when you're lazy is you end up having to go work for somebody else, because you just have to go put in your time. A lot of people are just going to work every day, putting in their time, putting in their 8 hours, doing as little as possible just to get by, looking for ways to cut corners. That's not God. God says be diligent. Whether you work for someone else or work for yourself, you're always working for God. Do everything without fault finding or grumbling or complaining. And he says, work as unto the Lord. Do everything that you do as unto him. So we know that we have to work, because James 2:26 says faith without works is dead. So you can run around all day long believing God for a new job, believing God for an increase, having all kinds of faith. But God says you got to also work. You got to also put the effort out. So you can't just pray for success. You have to develop a plan of action and work your plan. And if you can do something about your situation, then go do it. Stop making excuses. And I heard years ago that you can either make money or you can make excuses, but you can't make both. You have to make a decision about how you're going to live your life. Nobody can change your circumstances except for you with God's help. And you've got to stop procrastinating and go out and do it. Then God says, listen to this, in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." There will be contracts that you really needed that you will not win. There will be sales that will fall through. There will be days when you drop the ball, but you cannot let that define your future. You will get another opportunity, and you will make a way with God's help. He goes before you to prepare the way, and he is with you always. The next thing you got to know to be successful is it's all about guarding your heart and your mind. Your thoughts can be your number one asset or your biggest liability. Your ability to stay positive, to learn from all experience, to shake off mistakes quickly. I hear so many people saying, "I feel like a failure. I'm a failure. I'm just a big loser." I'm telling you now, failure is an event, not a person. You are not a failure. The road to success is paved with failures, because only the people that try fail. How many people sit on the sidelines their entire life, never trying, because they don't want to make a mistake? They don't want to fail. My friends, Abraham Lincoln was in an insane asylum. He lost his wife. He lost 3 elections before he ever became president. Thomas Edison failed over 100 times to invent the electric light bulb. But was he a failure? Babe Ruth struck out at bat more times than he ever hit a home run, but he was known as the home run king. You see, it's so important how you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As I think in my heart, so am I." So here's your assignment. Read positive motivational materials. Get books on success. Listen to uplifting messages like the one you're hearing right now. Get CDs and DVDs. Download things onto your MP3. Find hope and encouragement through what other people have gone through and how they have found success. Fill your mind with good things and program yourself for success. Your mind is a computer. What it's programmed to believe, it believes. What it's programmed to think, it thinks. What it's programmed to speak, it speaks. You can reprogram your brain. Incredibly exciting. This next one, guys, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Making decisions about your future. My friends, anytime change is involved, you are going to be battling some fear elements. Fear is a natural emotion that tries to rise up within us, but may I tell you that we do not walk in natural. We walk in supernatural. So we know that we are not going to make our decisions based on our feelings. We are not going to make a decision because we're afraid. We're not going to make a decision because we're upset. We are not going to be reactionary. We are going to respond, and we are going to make decisions based on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit directing us. This is the key. This is the key. He has not given you a spirit of fear. Power, love, sound mind. Speak that over yourself every day. And then we look at Habakkuk 2 and 3. You know what, guys? Everybody wants instant success. It's the biggest problem that I find in my business. When new consultants come on, if they don't have success immediately and right away, boom, they are history. They are gone. Even the ones that come in and say, I want to be a success. I want to own my own franchise. I want to do what you're doing, Dana. I want to be like you. But here's the key. They don't see the nights that I was on the road till midnight. They don't see the sacrifices, the things that canceled, the appointments that fell through, the checks that bounced, the things that didn't work out. They don't see that. They don't realize that it's been day in and day out persistence and vision. So here's the key, guys. Listen to Habakkuk 2 and 3. But these things that I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. That scripture needs to be tattooed to your forehead, slapped on your bathroom mirror, put on your refrigerator. It doesn't always happen right away. I've been believing God for something right now for 3 years. I am praying that it is imminently about to happen, that it is coming to pass. But may I tell you that I know God's timing is perfect. His timing is not my timing, but I do know there is an appointed time when the vision will be fulfilled. So I want to encourage you, be patient. It will not be overdue a single day. I want you to know God's, with God's timing and knowing Him intimately, we can learn to live in hope and joy and expectation and anticipation that it's about to happen. It's coming. It's about to change. And all the while, God is working on our behalf. 9, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13, make a decision to be a lifelong learner in order to be successful in business, relationships, in any area of your life. Constantly seek to improve yourself. Increase your knowledge about the business you're in. Increase your knowledge about the area that you want to move into. Go and learn everything you can about the dream that God's planted in your heart. Even if you're not actively doing it yet, begin to learn about it. Engage in it. Have meetings with people that are already doing what you want to be doing. Find a mentor that you can really learn from that's already where you want to go. That is one of the biggest things that happened with me early on in business. I'd never been in sales, and I'd never been self-employed. I've always had a job where someone gave me a set paycheck every week that I knew I could count on. But I found a mentor that was already where I wanted to be, and I latched onto her, and I learned from her. And thank God she was a godly woman because she taught me so many godly principles for success. Find that person that's already doing what you want to do and begin hanging out with them. Go to meetings. Go watch what they do. I'm telling you, it is key. It is wisdom, and you're gaining understanding. And then number 10, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. No matter what happens, no matter how long it takes, God says we can have peace. He says it's available to us. Don't beat yourself up. Don't second guess yourself about what you didn't do yesterday. Just move forward. Just move forward. Keep the vision firmly implanted in your heart. Keep taking one step. Follow these success principles that I've just given you. And if you would like to have a copy of this, simply send me an email at my email is on the website at www.isaiah38teamministries.com. You can call 501-791-9378, or you can actually email me at Dana E. Davin@Isaiah38teamministries.com. That's my new Isaiah38team email address. So you can email me and I'll be glad to forward you a copy. But more importantly than that, in closing this morning, find your scriptures. Find your success principles. God will give some specifically to you that may not be on my list. Because God intimately, He is so interested in you that He wants to personalize this thing. He wants to make it about you and Him and this magnificent journey that you're on together. So ask God to give you your scriptures, your success principles, the things that you need to know. And in the meantime, if you want mine, just shout and we'll send them over to you. I just want you to know that God is for you and not against you. That you are the head and not the tail, you are above and not beneath, and God has a great plan for your life. Step up and step out. Be willing to take a risk. Be willing to go forward, even if there is a chance of failure, because, hey, guys, it's the only way that we're ever going to succeed is to take those chances in life. So, Father God, we love you today, Lord. We lift you up on high, God. We thank you that you have a good plan for us. We thank you that Jeremiah 29:11 says that these are the plans that I have for you, says the Lord God. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us hope and that you give us a future. And, God, that we can lay everything at your feet, knowing that you are perfecting that which concerns us. So we love you, Lord, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.